100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. It's Sunday, so it's time for the weekly challenge where I post a topic and you come up with the story. We got a lot of great stories on the topic of strike, so why am I babbling? Why don't we get right to them? Well, maybe I should complain about all the walking I have to do to lose weight again, or all the foods I'm not allowed to eat because I want to lose weight again, or just complain about things in general. Nah, you've heard enough about that. You want to hear some stories, don't you? Well, some of you want to hear the rambling. I'm not sure about them. Get your entertainment where you can. So, let's see. Who's going to be first this week? I think... folder. I put these all in Gmail in a folder called Weekly Challenge. That's why I ask people to put Weekly Challenge in the topic. It automatically routes anything it sees with them. That way I don't miss it, or it doesn't get caught in the spam folder, which I should probably check. Hold on. Spam folder? Nope. So, yay! Okay, Muncie is going to be first. So, Muncie's going to introduce himself. Everyone is going to introduce themselves. I think a few people dropped out because they were forced to introduce themselves. I mean, come on. Are you really that shy? I mean, you did these stories, didn't you? Whatever. So, here's Muncie, and I will see you at the end.
Greetings, Februarians, from Muncie. Here for your last week as the Februarians, and the last Sunday of the Februades. Ready for a story? Good! The Smiths, by Christopher Monroe. I did stop listening to Depeche Mode. I didn't need to, like I said, but change can be good. I moved on to the Smiths. I also will love the Smiths until I die. Johnny Marr's the best guitarist of his age, and Morrissey's a god. I own every album, both Smiths and solo, and I listen to them whenever I can. The lyrics are genius, and he's one of the foundational artists of his genre. Morrissey isn't my first crush, that was Ally Sheedy, but he was my third or fourth. Mayhaps I've said too much. Big Mouth strikes again. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. Thus ends the Februades, Februarians. See you next month with a new nickname for all, and stories that aren't about decades-old songs.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 461 on the topic of strike. I'm recording this on a very cold, blustery day, so if you hear any wind howling, that's not a sound effect, that's real. My first story is called Tomb Raider. Christ, it's dark in here, Professor Stenson exclaimed as he squeezed through the doorway into the ancient tomb. Let's get some torches lighted. Stenson heard no reply from his two native assistants. He sighed. This was not entirely unexpected, as the pair claimed they feared an evil spirit that guarded the tomb. Stenson was a rationalist, and didn't believe in evil spirits, animated corpses, or any other superstitious nonsense. Still, he mused, if he weren't so sensible, he might well be nervous. The atmosphere gave him an uneasy feeling, as though someone was in the chamber with him. He fumbled for his matches. Striking one, he used its meager light to get a glimpse of the tomb. It was all he imagined. The coffin, painted in gold leaf, surrounded by countless jeweled treasures. Just before the match went out, he felt, rather than saw, something move. His last thought was that the natives weren't as foolish as he believed. My second story is called Look for the Union Label.
Unfair, chanted the three men.
They looked cold, parading in a small circle by their large inflatable rat. What's up, fellas? I asked. Their leader replied, We're protesting the use of non-union labor at this casino. I see. How's that going?
We've been here every day for the past 10 years, in all weather, demanding the owner use union labor. Yeah, it'll cost him $2 an hour more in wages, but it's only fair.
So let me see if I've got this straight. You're on strike, often standing in the cold and rain instead of being in a nice climate-controlled building, making nothing for a decade. Also, you can demand, what, 20% more than you could have made all along?
That sounds about right, but we're real close now. The owner will cave any day.
And how many years will it take for you to make up those lost wages from the last decade? And my last story is called Strike 3.
Mr. Del Rio, under California's three strikes law, the minimum punishment for your crime is a life sentence without the possibility of parole. I so sentence you. Do you understand?
Oh, Judge, Your Honor, can't you give me a break?
Sir, which word do you have difficulty with? Mandatory? Minimum?
No, but three strikes. Can't we call it two or something?
The judge reviewed Del Rio's folder. Burglary. Burglary. Assault. Armed robbery. Burglary. Assault with a deadly weapon. The list went on. Mr. Del Rio, I'm assuming your pleas had some effect on other judges. From what I'm reading, this isn't a question of strike three. You've had a full innings worth of strikes against you. Bailiff, take him away. He's out. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, ladies, gentlemen, and others. This is Richard, and yes, I still have a cold. I've now resorted to treatment of pancakes and whiskey. Unorthodox, I know, but it's got to be worth a try. Nothing else has worked. This is George's Story, Part 94. Failure. "Wait here," ordered the woman, leaving George alone with his thoughts in the corridor. He mulled over what he'd just been told. "You've been through a rather unique selection process, George. Most organizations of our type run character tests and hypothetical scenarios, or we prefer a more hands-on approach. You've faced a range of situations designed to measure your response to danger, decision-making and mental agility, and a whole host of other criteria. Sadly, you've managed to strike out with every test. You are the lowest scoring candidate we've ever had. It's quite an achievement. Albeit, it's your only one." And here's some more stories on the topic of strike. "I miss Grandpa and his weird sayings. He had ways of putting things that were utterly baffling, but terribly endearing. Now, as he would say, he's gone to the great white turtle waxer. Dead as a bean on a roller skate, and off the rotor at the boxing club. Total nonsense, of course, but you always knew exactly what he meant, and it made for some interesting conversations. His favourite expression was 'struck down in their prime by a wanton banana.' All the more ironic and poignant, considering how he died. Botulism from a rancid plantain." And this one's called "They Are Back." "The team were back together. Captain Johnson, Nerdy Jack the Hacker, Sid and Tenacious Willie. How long had it been since the last time they'd been on a mission? Too long. And the guys knew it, all too aware of how the easy life and lack of training might have dulled their wits. Nerves were on a knife edge. They couldn't afford to make mistakes. They needn't have worried. It went perfectly. Mission accomplished, objective secured, and no comeback at all. The team celebrated their success. It felt good. Strike Team Alpha was back in business. Ah, it's good to see an old favourite back. My last story this morning is called Breakfast Interrupted. Limbo Laggins was halfway through his breakfast bacon and eggs when a knock on the door disturbed him. Sighing, he trudged to the door, only to find that pesky wizard stood on his doorstep. "Could I interest you in a quest?" inquired the wizard. "No," said Laggins, attempting to close the door. "Be very careful, little hobbit, or I shall strike you with my magical staff." Laggins looked the wizard up and down before replying. "What staff?" The wizard frowned. "Oh, bother! Now where have I left that?" And hurried off down the pathway. Limbo shook his head. Blasted wizards. And that's all I have for you this week. So until next week, I'm off to my pancakes, whiskey, and possibly an early grave. Until then, goodbye.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. They do say that lightning never strikes twice. However, as far as you are concerned, not strictly true. You'd be surprised how many times lightning can strike when you encourage it with a good tall flagpole, a reel of heavy gauge cable, with a nice easy route to earth. And that's where you come in. My missing link. So just make yourself comfortable as I strap this cable to your head. And try not to tip the water bowl at your feet. There's a storm coming, and you know what that means, don't you? What a shocking way to die.
Hey there, Anima here. This is my story for Weekly Challenge 461, College Any Day, 2015. Jill enters the crowded college bar, avoiding eye contact with any of the patrons. She's pissed that Aaron has bailed on dinner and is contemplating how to get out of the relationship before finals week. It's going to be a mess. Some guy from the other end of the bar locks eyes on her. Ham. Strike one! He sidles up, carrying what appears to be 2 pints of beer. Light beer. Strike two! "Excuse me, I am writing a term paper on the finer things in life, and I'd like to interview you." Strike three! Frat boy, you're out of here. Thank you very much, and have a great week.
This is Zach Mann with my entry. I don't think I will take a date to a baseball game again. My day would have been better if there had been a baseball strike. The speakers played too loud, so I got a fan to give me 2 cigarettes. I tried to put their filters in my ears, but they were lucky strikes. My date snuck onto the field, despite my trying to drag her back. She smacked the umpire, then ducked, which placed my eye in the path of a moving fist. Apparently, when you hit a baseball official, the umpire strikes back. Fortunately, we left then.
Strike by John Musico. The secret meeting hall was filled. The union head pounded his fist on the podium. "We are sick and tired doing all the work. We demand vacation. We deserve promotions." His wings shuddered as he spoke. "Heaven fills daily with more of we angels, merely to do his good deeds for him as he sits peacefully on his throne. When the sun rises, no one goes to work, and our days will be filled instead with leisure we have earned. That was the day heaven became a lovely place. The angels still lounge and gladly pay their union dues.
Hello, everyone. Lizzie here. This is my story for this week. Unaware of his demise, Nolan was about to lose everything. His wife, Linda, along with her lawyer lover, prepared everything quite thoroughly. "Trust me," she said. And, foolish as he was, he did. The car, the house, the weekend cottage, everything was gone. However, there was Nikolai. "My darling," he said, "I'll take care of it." Nolan never saw Linda again. The lawyer disappeared, and the properties were magically in Nolan's name again. "How?" "My darling," he replied, examining the barrel of his gun, "there's a monster at the end of everyone's path. I just happened to be that monster." This is my story for this week, taught by my blog at lizziegoodcop.blogspot.com. And don't forget, Saturdays at noon, I am hosting a write-in at Milkwood in Second Life. And I'd be happy to welcome you there one of these Saturdays. Okay, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got two stories tonight. The first, what'd he say? "Strike while the iron's hot," said the master. He was always saying stuff like that. In all the time he had spent with the old man, not one original word came out of his mouth. Further, the wise words were always out of context. The last pearl came after the apprentice asked if the master would like another bowl of ice cream. When the dish was placed before him, instead of a simple thank you, the master said, "When you have been struck on one cheek, turn and offer the other." It was going to be a very long day. And the second story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 94. The energy from the Tamburlaine leveled the bandit's lair, then spread across Deadman. As quickly as it struck, the entire mass of the planet was pulled back to the Tamburlaine, producing one glorious mini supernova. "President Parsons, the Maravolti Gravis Imperium has just claimed responsibility for the planetary strike on Deadman." The newly widowed leader ordered Admiral Poindexter to engage the fleet. Inside the cube, the doctor was struck with a deep sense of emptiness. "I just died," said the doctor. The dealer nodded. "Timmy." "Mir." The dealer dealt one more hand. He busted, and so did the cube. And that's it for this week. I can't think of anything else to say.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 461 with a prompt of strike. And here's my story. This was the worst date of his life. Not that Durgle had been on that many. Bambi, the checker at the corner grocery store, kept calling him Mr. Vanderhunt instead of Durgle. He was only 3 years older than her, and though her braces and ponytails made her look like a teenager, she was 22. Maybe the zoo was a bad choice for their first date. Durgle felt off balance. He had to leave Long John in the microvan. The monkeys were on strike, and Bambi's lip got cut by her braces when he tried to kiss her goodnight. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. We'll see you next week. Next week, we'll see you next week. He had to leave Long John in the microwave. No.
Tudor Brazoino here, with a story on the subject of strike. My great-grandfather struck it rich in the Californian gold rush, but he realized the real business was selling equipment and supplies to all the other poor fools. Eventually, he and his son were running a chain of stores across six cities, and richer than any gold digger. Then my grandfather sees mail order getting big, so he gets into delivery networks. FedEx is a direct descendant of one of his companies. My father saw computers coming in and got into computer consulting. And me? I charge business leaders $20,000 a day to tell them how to strike it rich.
Greetings, people of Earth. This is Rick Thomas in Fort Myers, Florida. The subject of today's offering is strike. Mama generally came home from work in one of three mental states. Normal, nervous breakdown, which is bad, real bad, and the far more common, on strike. Which meant, if she didn't get a break, she would have a nervous breakdown. During those times, our older brother always knew what to do. The music was Dixieland jazz. Steaks outside on the grill. Dirty kitchen equals real bad. Red wine, he would say, this is the reddest wine I could find. Hope it suits Madame's palate, in his best French accent. Mom would smile so sweetly. You'll make a good husband someday.
Take a trip with me to planet Z.
They say that you should strike while the iron is hot, but they never say what you should strike the iron with. I used to strike the iron with a rubber chicken, but now that I heat iron before I strike it, the rubber chicken tends to soften and melt all over the iron, making a gooey mess. Why am I striking my iron with a rubber chicken? You're right. I should strike the iron with a mallet in order to shape the iron. Now, what should I place the iron on while I strike it? Aha! The rubber chicken.
Have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of strike. Really good ones. Did this inspire you to write on the topic of strike? It's not too late. I can put your story up on the feed in a separate post if you want it. If not, that's okay. We've got another weekly challenge coming up. That one's on the topic of after. To learn more about the weekly challenge, go read all the show notes and all the stuff up at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Heck, we've got a 10th anniversary coming up in a few months. You've got a lot of time to prepare for it. I mean, the topic is whatever the heck you want, and you could even make your story about whatever the heck you want, because that's whatever the heck you want. Isn't that cool? No? Okay, we can make it whatever the fuck you want. It's explicit, you know. I may just do it whatever the fuck you want. I mean, I've been wanting to put fuck in a challenge for quite a long time. It's been 10 years. Screw it. Let's do it. Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge and are probably gritting their teeth at my swearing. Those of you who listened, you're probably really gritting your teeth. Those of you who sent stories and don't listen, those of you who do listen, get that man a drink. I will see you all next week. Thank you, and as always, really, I mean this, keep it brief.